Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Pern. We wrap up this week's show with an upbeat story from contributor Eileen Dalabrida. Her latest piece, available at DelawarePublic.org, chronicles the story of Vernell Brown, a 52-year-old student at the University of Pennsylvania. You heard me right, a 52-year-old student. Eileen tells us it's Brown's second shot at an Ivy League education after drugs and alcohol derailed his first over 30 years ago. It's an uplifting story about second chances and the power of perseverance and support. And Eileen Dalabrida joins us now for this week's Enlighten Me to tell us more about it. Thanks for joining us, Eileen.
Happy to be here, Tom.
Well, let's start off with how did you first learn about Vernell Brown and his story?
I first met Vernell a couple of years ago through the Ministry of Caring and in Wilmington, and he had just begun classes at Dell Tech. And I thought that, wow, this is highly unusual for a guy who lives in a homeless shelter to be going to college. And he invited me to be his Facebook friend. And I said, I'd love to be Facebook friends with you. And he has been in my thoughts and my prayers ever since.
Your story details how, as a child, he seemed to be on a path towards success. What went wrong, and how did he get to the point where he was homeless and kind of had a chance to go to an Ivy League school when he was younger, essentially disappear?
He was a very sensitive boy. He had an unconventional upbringing. His mother always had heart problems and was gravely ill. He had a brother who had cerebral palsy and was confined to a wheelchair. He was surrounded by illness. And when he was 6 years old, his parents got divorced and his father essentially abandoned the family.
And I guess that started him down a path perhaps that kind of to unravel, you know, what had seemed to be a trajectory that was going in the right direction.
Well, he always loved school and he loved studying, and he got a tremendous break when he got a scholarship to Tatnall in seventh grade. But it wasn't soon after that that he started drinking and doing drugs. He had a lot on his plate. He wanted to be in with the in crowd, and he was going to a school where a lot of the kids were affluent, and he came from more modest needs. And he wanted to fit in with them. And he also was struggling with his sexuality. He came to the awakening that he was gay, and he didn't want to be gay. He felt like there was something wrong with him, and he wanted to hide it. He wanted to numb those feelings. And drugs and alcohol fit the bill.
Was there a point that kind of really was a turning point in the wrong direction for him, where things really kind of broke down and set him on a path that, as you mentioned, you know, wound up with him, you know, being homeless and trying to rebuild his life?
He had a lot of opportunities and he made a lot of mistakes. His scholarship offer was taken away from Brown University. He went to Howard, but he spent his whole time there doing drugs and hanging out with other kids who are doing drugs. They find one another. It's like radar.
Mm-hmm.
They all get in trouble together. So he came back and he started temping, but he was just not disciplined. He wasn't able to hold a job. He started stealing, shoplifting, and forging checks. And he wound up in prison.
And so he tried to keep going, went to Howard, flunked out of Howard, and he said kind of wound up on this kind of path to jail. What happened after he wound up in prison once he got out, and how did he start to kind of rebuild his life?
Well, prison was actually a pretty positive experience for him because he was able to take some college classes. And academics and learning has always been something that he gravitates towards and that he loves. So when he got out of prison, he started to do a little bit better. The jobs lasted a little bit longer. He wasn't getting in trouble as much, but he just couldn't stay away from crack cocaine and beer. So he he wound up losing his last job, and he didn't have a place to go. He was homeless. And he asked his mom, who loved him unconditionally and supported him through all his problems, if he could move in with her. And she said, "Son, I love you, but no." And that was it. That for him was the bottom, that he didn't want to live that kind of life any longer. He wanted to have a home, and he wound up at the Ministry of Caring, where they essentially compelled him to go to meetings of a 12-step program. And if you want a roof over your head, you have to stay clean and sober. And he was completely humbled, and he said, okay. And then he started going to school, this time with a renewed appreciation, renewed enthusiasm, a great deal of vigor, and wound up getting a 4.0 at Dell Tech.
And then how did he wind up getting an opportunity to go to Penn from there?
Penn has a program for non-traditional students, and he was invited to apply. So he applied, and 2 weeks later, he got his letter that said, "You're in." And he was just, you know, elated, walking on air. And this was his second chance at the Ivy Leagues, and this time he was ready for it.
Now, your piece says he's on pace to graduate in May 2018. What does he see himself doing once he gets his degree?
Well, he's very passionate about public health, having grown up surrounded by illness. And he is also very interested in policy, in informing policy that can help people to lead healthier, more productive lives. He is, in many ways, even though he's 52 years old, he's very much a student. He lives in the dorm. He eats in the cafeteria with the other students. He has a part-time job in the cafeteria. And he's studying hard. So far, he's only gotten one B in sociology. Other than that, he's been all straight A's. And he gets a lot of support from the 12-step community, from his extended family. His mother was one of 16 children, so he has a lot of very loving aunts and uncles and cousins. And he has a great church family at Bethel AME, and his faith has really helped him a lot, too.
And real quick, what is he studying at Penn?
He is studying public health.
Okay. What do you think people can take away from Brown's story? I mean, and what did you take away from it as you kind of, you know, told this story for us?
It's that the human spirit can't be crushed. I mean, while there's breath, there's hope. I think that there are a lot of reasons for people to give up on Vernell and for Vernell to give up on himself, but that never happened, and he turned it around.
Eileen Dalabrida, we thank you so much for enlightening us this week with Vernell Brown's story and joining us here on The Green.
Thanks, Tom.
And a reminder that Eileen's piece is available right now at DelawarePublic.org. It is definitely worth your time. And that's it for this week's edition of The Green. These stories and interviews you've heard are online right now at DelawarePublic.org. Just head to The Green's page on our website. And remember, you can also check out The Green via podcast at our website and on iTunes. Thanks to all those who helped make today's show possible. Contributors Eileen Dalabrida and Larry Nagengast. Mount Pleasant High School sophomore Amaya Williams, part of our Generation Voice project in the Brandywine School District. Delaware Public Media's Mark Earhart and Katie Pikus, as well as our president and station manager, Casey Houts. For all of them and the rest of the staff here at Delaware Public Media, I'm Tom Byrne. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week on The Green, where Delaware explores its common ground.